Greetings and good morning, brothers and sisters and audio boo. This is James Glory from Yorkshire in the north of England. I have entitled this morning's audio boo, War and Rumours of War. Obviously, this has been inspired by the current news climate, the ubiquitous pictures of violence, bombing, wars and death, and to many people it must seem that more than any point in the past, everywhere seems to be a raging conflagration. Everywhere. This is disturbing to many, and I want to bring you some facts, some figures, some quotes, and then some hope. So please bear with me. Immanuel Kant once said, "Perpetual peace is no empty idea, but a practical thing, which, through its gradual solution, is coming always nearer its final realization." Now, the United Nations defines major wars as military conflicts inflicting 1,000 battlefield deaths per year. In 1965, for example, there were 10 major wars underway. However, the new millennium began with much of this world consumed in armed conflict or cultivating and experiencing a most uncertain and unsteady peace. So for example, as of mid-2005, there were 8 major wars, and there was 15 in 2003, with as many as 24 lesser conflicts ongoing with varying degrees of intensity. Now, many of these are civil or intrastate wars, fueled as much by racial, ethnic, or religious animosities, as much as by ideological fervour. Africa, for example, to a greater extent than any other conflict, is afflicted and has been afflicted by war. It has been marred by more than 20 major civil wars since 1960. We recall Rwanda, Somalia, Angola, Sudan, Liberia and Burundi. These are among the countries that have recently suffered serious armed conflict. According to Crisis Watch, as of February the 1st, we have deteriorating situations in Mali, Nigeria, Pakistan, Libya, Senegal, South Sudan and Sudan, and of course, Syria. Now, war has caused untold economic and social damage to these countries in Africa and around the world. Food production is completely nigh impossible in these conflict areas, and I want you to remember this here, that famine often results. I'll get back to that shortly. You see, widespread conflict has mercilessly condemned many of Africa's beautiful children to lives of misery, servitude to fear, and in many cases has threatened the existence of those beautiful traditional African cultures, in some cases wiping them out. Now, some would say conflict prevention, mediation, humanitarian intervention, and demobilization are some of the tools needed to underwrite the success of development assistance programs. But nutrition and education programs cannot, for example, succeed in a nation of war. Consider at this time, in these times of austerity, considering Greece and the problems they're having and all around the world, the Occupy movement, the tighten your belt. How about this? Billions of dollars of development assistance have been virtually wasted in these war-ravaged countries, for example, such as Liberia, Somalia and Sudan. I've got some facts here that may shock you, and this disturbed me, that during World War I, civilians made up fewer than 5% of all casualties. Now, we know that most victims today are civilians, a feature that distinguishes modern conflicts. What percentage would you say today are those who were killed or wounded in wars as non-combatants? 30%, 40% perhaps? No, it is 75% or more. That has shocked me and frightened me, and it hurts me, as I'm sure it does you. We're not like Joseph Stalin, who said a single death is a tragedy, a million deaths a statistic. No, not at all. You see, famine, in the absence of violence, has generated few of the world's refugees and few of the world's problems. Billions of dollars, as I said, have been wasted in these war-ravaged countries. Now, it is easy to become despondent. It is easy to see all this as Armageddonic and believe that the end is nigh. Now, I want to just give you a reading, a quick verse here from the scriptures. Now, when Jesus' disciples approached him and said, "What will the signs of the ends of the age be?" Now, this is very relevant and very prophetic. I think you'll be quite surprised. Jesus said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars." Now, that could have applied to any time, but now listen here. It says, "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, for the end is not yet." And it says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Isn't that more relevant than ever? 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus spoke this, and he saw and he knew prophetically. How more relevant could it be today? I don't think it could be. And then back to the famine. Listen, he said, "And there shall be famine and pestilences." Yes, indeed. Famine, as I've said, has destroyed so many of these lives. And it's horrendous that the civilians indeed are the ones who suffer. Today we must remember these places in prayer. Like I said, not like Stalin, who doesn't care, or like Kant, who statisticizes it or just tries to define it. War is horrible. And we hope and pray that the world leaders involved in these things who make the decisions can see what is happening. And that we can get pray for and help those aid agencies who risk their lives to go save the baby dying at the mother's breast. You know, in a tented village in the middle of nowhere with no running water, with bullets flying round them, death and disease ravaging them. Let us not be despondent, though, because the Lord Jesus says it is not the end. And in Matthew 24:13, we have a hopeful verse here, and I want you to grasp this. It says, "But they that endure until the end, the same shall be saved." Let us be aware of the war situation. Let us pray for those countries, the many countries that are in conflict. But let us never give up hope, because peace can prevail and will prevail. This is James Glory, Yorkshire in the north of England, blessing you today.